Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Islamic Parables. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss parables about fame-seeking. Let's first and foremost recite Salawat ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the beautiful hadith, he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated, the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi wa ala alihi وصحبه أجمعين وسلم. Dear viewers, Sayyidina Wahb bin Munabbih rahimahullah ta'ala, he has stated that a saint of Allah had chosen a life of seclusion. People would visit him and he would offer them advice and counsel. Those who returned from his gatherings would leave with a treasure of beneficial knowledge. Once, when people were gathered in his assembly, he said, O people, we have left our homes and families so that we do not fall into sin by being with them. However, I fear an even greater calamity, one that afflicts the wealthy. May it not be that any of us desires people to fulfill our needs or discounts in trade because of our piety. May it not be that when meeting people, we desire their reverence and admiration. For people, all these matters are destructive. So always protect yourselves from them. The wise counsel of the saint spread far and wide, even reaching the king of the time. When the king arrived to greet the saint, people said, O righteous one, look, the king has come to visit you. Why has the king come to visit me? Asked the saint. They replied that he has come to listen to your words of wisdom. Hearing this, the saint asked, Is there anything to eat? Someone replied, Yes, I have some dates. Break your fast with them at iftar. After saying this, he handed the dates to the saint, who immediately began eating them. Even though he would fast throughout the year, the king witnessed this and was astonished. He asked the people, Where is the pious man I came to visit? Is it him? The people responded, Yes, this is the saint whose wise counsel is so famous. Allahu Akbar. When the king got there, the king found him eating. So the king wasn't really impressed and he lost interest in him. The king said, I do not see any virtue in him, and left. After the king departed, the pious man said, Praise be to Allah who kept the king away from me. It is good that the king was not impressed by me, but rather spoke against me. This has protected me from desiring fame and showing off. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers, so many things were said in this parable, and they left everyone to dedicate their lives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this saint, he didn't want name and fame. He wouldn't even use his status of his sainthood to ask people for things. He kept his good deeds guarded. And when the king thought good of him, he made it a point so the king would be disheartened and he would be not interested in him. And how pious predecessors disliked seeking status among people or gaining respect and fame from kings and rulers. These saints would distance themselves from worldly recognition, honors and pleasures, preferring seclusion thereby. On the other hand, many of us desire respect and recognition in all matters, not just from common people, but also from the wealthy and influential. We hope to be praised, admired, and rewarded by others. Allahu Akbar. Dear brothers, if such desires arise in our heart, reflect in this manner that hearing people praise me, being admired, or seeking fame and getting our name and fame may please my ego, but it will not guarantee success in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla on the Day of Judgment. Those who praise me will be trembling in fear on the Day of Judgment. By adopting this mindset, we can rid ourselves of the desire for name and fame. Yes. Nowadays, we see that, sometimes before even people do something, they will start publicizing it. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to build this road. I'm going to build this jamia. I'm going to build this and that. I'm doing so much. I'm going to give charity. Announcing and making himself famous, desirous of fame. If this is the case, one should totally refrain from it. The leader of Ahlus Sunnah, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, he states that desiring fame is defined as wanting renown and respect. In criticizing the desire for fame, Hujjatul Islam Imam Muhammad Al-Ghazali Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he has said that the purpose of seeking fame is to establish a status for oneself in the hearts of people. This desire is the root of every corruption. To protect yourself from desiring fame, we should reflect upon in the Quran and the Hadith that highlight its dangers. Verse number 83 of Surah Al-Qasas, it is mentioned in there. تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. This abode of the hereafter we create for those who neither seek supremacy in the earth nor discord. In this verse, the intention of seeking fame and the intention of causing corruption are mentioned, indicating that the hereafter is only for the one who is free from both of these intentions. And furthermore, Allah Azza wa Jal states in verse 15 and 16 of Surah Hud that whosoever desires the life of this world and its adornment, we shall recompense them fully for their deeds in this life, and they will not receive less in it. They are those for whom there is no hereafter except the fire. Whatever they did therein in the world was destroyed, and their deeds were futile. In this verse, in the general sense, it includes the desire for fame because the longing for fame is among the greatest pleasures and adornments of worldly life. In another part of the Holy Quran, it is stated, whosoever seeks the harvest of the hereafter, we increase his harvest for him. And whosoever seeks the harvest of this world, we grant him a part of it, but he has no share in the hereafter. Here, commentary on various parts of this verse from Tafsir Nur al-Irfan, where it is mentioned, whoever desires the harvest of the hereafter, it refers to those who intend to please Allah Azza wa Jal and the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and do not perform deeds to show off. We increase his harvest for him. This part means that we shall grant him the ability to perform more good deeds, make righteous acts easy for him, and reward him abundantly without measure. And the ayat reads further, and whoever desires the harvest of this world, it refers to the one who performs good actions only to gain worldly benefits. He becomes a scholar, or he becomes a haji or pilgrim, or he becomes a warrior merely to gain respect, name, or wealth. He has no share in the hereafter because his actions were not performed for it. From this we learn that to show off ruin our akhirah, and even if some worldly benefit will derive from it, what does it benefit? Only we will get that little share from the dunya, but in the hereafter there will be no reward. A show-off person, meaning a person who is involved in ostentation, is deprived of any reward, albeit his actions remain valid according to Islamic law. Yes, whatever he is doing, even if it is performed in accordance to the Islamic law, for example, he is reading salah, his salah is correct, valid the way he is performing it, his tahara is valid, his satr is valid, he is fulfilling all the prerequisites of salah, then he is maintaining all the arkan of salah, the fara'id, the wajibat, and the sunan of salah. He is doing all of that to perfection. It may outwardly look that he has done it very well, but his niyat was not to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there was somebody who was watching him performing salah and he wanted to put on a show. This is how I can read it so well. And because of this, he gains no reward. He is deprived of reward, albeit his actions remain valid according to Islamic law. This is the cliche when we say, technically correct. But technically correct is not always correct. For example, when such a person prays, the obligation of prayer is fulfilled, but there is no reward for it. That is why Allah Azza wa Jal says, fil akhirah, meaning he has no share in the hereafter. We too should refrain from performing actions to show off, to earn praise, or to gain social recognition. Instead, we should perform good deeds solely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, earn reward, and to improve our hereafter. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that if a person performs a deed inside a solid rock where there is neither a door or window, that deed will still become apparent, and whatever is destined will come to pass. The famous Mufassir of the Holy Quran, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khana'imi rahimahullah, he explains this hadith that the purpose of this blessed saying is that why waste your reward by showing off? Perform actions sincerely and secretly. Allah Himself will reveal your good deeds to people. Their hearts will begin to acknowledge your piety. And this has been proven time and again. Some people secretly perform tahajjud, yet others, without knowing, refer to them as those who offer tahajjud. The light of tahajjud, rather, the light of every good deed, appears on the face and can be witnessed day and night. People refer to Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah and Khaja Mainuddin Ajmeri Hassan Sanjari rahimahullah ta'ala as saints because Allah Azza wa Jal makes them known as such. This is a manifestation of this hadith. Dear brothers, there is no doubt that the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perform deeds purely for His pleasure. As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instills love and respect for them in the hearts of people, and their piety becomes known throughout the world. Our situation is quite the opposite. Not only do we seldom perform good deeds, but when we do, we hasten to publicize them. To protect ourselves from the spiritual disease of showing off and to seek name and fame because we are doing something good and we must be praised for it, then this thought itself is a deception of nafs and shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. To protect ourselves from spiritual diseases of desiring fame, there are some prophetic ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. He says, avoid mixing the love of people's praise with the obedience to Allah. Otherwise, your deeds will be ruined. In the second hadith, sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, love for wealth and status nurtures hypocrisy in a believer's heart, just as water causes vegetations to grow. In the third hadith, sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, two hungry wolves let loose upon a flock of sheep do not cause as much harm as love for wealth and fame do to a Muslim's faith. And in the fourth hadith, sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, that loving to be praised makes a person blind and deaf. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, it is enough for a man to be considered evil that people point towards him regarding his religious overtly affairs, meaning praising him, except for the one Allah protects. Dear brothers, we learn that desiring fame is an evil and condemnable act, whereas obscurity and humility are praiseworthy. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that indeed there are people from my nation that if they ask you for a dinar, you would refuse. And if they ask for a dirham, you would refuse. And if they ask for a coin, you would still refuse. Yet, if they ask Allah Almighty for paradise, He will grant it to them. And if they ask for worldly things, He will withhold them because this world is worthless in His court. Many people who wear worn clothes are such that if they swear an oath by Allah, He fulfills it. And it is mentioned in another hadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the people of paradise are those with dusty faces, unkempt hair, and tattered clothes. Those who are looked down upon. If they seek permission to visit kings, they are denied. If they propose for marriage, they are rejected. And when they speak, their words are ignored. Their needs weigh heavily upon their hearts. Yet, they are the ones destined for paradise. If the light or even one of them were divided among all the people on the day of judgment, it will suffice for everyone. So these are the men of Allah. That outwardly, yes, they would look poor, right? They would have dusty faces, unkempt hair, and they will wear torn clothes. And if they seek permission to enter a king's court, they are denied entrance. And if they propose for marriage, their proposals are rejected. And when they speak, even their words are ignored. But subhanallah, their status is such in the light of this hadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam that if the light of even one of them were divided among all the people on the day of judgment, it would suffice for everyone. Subhanallah. Acceptance in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal is not based on popularity and fame, but rather it is based on sincerity. Those truly accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal may be unknown to this world. No one may stand beside them or search for them or cry for them or even notice their presence in a gathering altogether. Therefore, we must respect every Muslim who adheres to the Sharia. And if we cannot show respect, we must at least refrain from disrespect. For some of them are hidden saints whose rank is unknown to us. Disrespecting such individuals can lead to a person's destruction. The pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala find peace in performing righteous deeds solely for His pleasure and living a life of humility and anonymity. They live like nobody. Allahu Akbar. Remember, if a person performs good deeds to gain respect, to gain fame, with the praise of people, shaitan will never hinder him and he will carry out good deeds without any hesitation or laziness. But what benefit is there in an action that is tainted by ostentation? Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Muhammad Murta'ish Rahimahullah, he says that I performed many pilgrimages, many hajj, and most of them without carrying any provisions. Later, it became clear to me that this was the deception of my nafs. Once my mother told me to fill a jug of water, and her command felt burdensome upon my nafs. I then realized that my nafs only cooperated with me on my journeys to Hajj for its own satisfaction and had deceived me. If my nafs had been subdued, then fulfilling the religious duty of obeying my mother would not have felt so difficult. Allahu Akbar. Yes, these are the ways the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they recognize the pitfalls of the nafs. And perhaps his nafs was following him and encouraged him to subdue his desires, his needs for the time being, for its own name and fame and to gain respect and to earn respect in other people's eyes. But when that happened, when his mother asked him for a jug of water and it felt heavy upon his nafs, that is the moment he caught his nafs. And he realized that, okay, my nafs only works in this manner. That means it is a deception of the nafs. Subhanallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq to really call out and oppose our nafs as the pious predecessors have done. Otherwise, the nafs will drown you. And it is an enemy from within. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection against the waywardness of the nafs and the deception of shaitan. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Amin. Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, we have a lovely kalam today as well as every other day. And inshallah, Zawjil, let's go and listen to the kalam and rejuvenate our hearts and spirit. And thereafter, we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Phir azm madina hai, phir azm madina hai, tayyar safina hai, tayyar safina hai. Allah ki rahmat se phir azm madina hai, Allah ki rahmat se phir azm madina hai. Chand ishq nadamat ke hai zaad safar mera, chand ishq nadamat ke hai zaad safar mera, zaad safar mera. Palle mein ibadat ka koi na khaseena hai, palle mein ibadat ka koi na khaseena hai. Phir azm madina hai, tayyar safina hai, tayyar safina hai, tayyar safina hai. Allah ki rahmat se phir azm madina hai, Allah chal to pada hu par gorah madina par, main chal to pada hu par, afsos saleeqa hai koi na qareena hai, afsos saleeqa hai koi na qareena hai. Phir azm madina hai, tayyar safina hai,
tayyar safina hai, tayyar safina hai. Allah ki rahmat se phir azm madina hai, Allah ki rahmat se phir azm madina hai.
Har dam mere honton par bas zikr madina ho, har dam mere honton par bas zikr madina ho, ye meri tamanna hai sultan madina hai, ye meri tamanna hai sultan madina hai. Phir azm madina hai, tayyar safina hai,
tayyar safina hai, tayyar safina hai. کی رحمت سے پھر عزم مدینہ ہے اللہ کی رحمت سے پھر عزم مدینہ ہے
غم میٹھے مدینے کا اے کاش کے مل جائے غم میٹھے مدینے کا اے کاش کے مل جائے
کاش کے مل جائے
ارمان یہی دل میں اے شاغ مدینہ ہے ارمان یہی دل میں اے شاغ مدینہ ہے پھر عزم مدینہ ہے تیار سفینہ ہے
تیار سفینہ ہے تیار سفینہ ہے اللہ کی رحمت سے پھر عزم مدینہ ہے اللہ کی رحمت سے پھر عزم مدینہ ہے
روتا ہوا پہنچا تھا روتا ہوا لوٹا تھا روتا ہوا پہنچا تھا روتا ہوا لوٹا تھا
لوٹا تھا
ہے وصل کی دو گھڑیاں پھر ہجر مدینہ ہے وصل کی دو گھڑیاں پھر ہجر مدینہ ہے پھر عزم مدینہ ہے تیار سفینہ ہے
تیار سفینہ ہے تیار سفینہ ہے اللہ کی رحمت سے پھر عزم مدینہ ہے اللہ کی رحمت سے پھر عزم مدینہ ہے
عطار کو گر تو بھی ٹھکرا دے کہاں جائے عطار کو گر تو بھی ٹھکرا دے کہاں جائے تیرا ہے یہ تیرا ہے گو لاکھ کمینہ ہے تیرا ہے یہ تیرا ہے گو لاکھ کمینہ ہے پھر عزم مدینہ ہے تیار سفینہ ہے
تیار سفینہ ہے تیار سفینہ ہے
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم الحمدللہ dear viewers you are listening to this wonderful kalam الحمدللہ very rejuvenating and inspiring and now as we were discussing parables of those who seek fame and we have just heard the account of those who seek name and fame from the Quranic verses from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if they do a good deed to show people or to earn people's praises in return then yes they will get that but no more than that in the hereafter there will be no reward for such people we just learnt how beautifully our pious predecessors rahimahumullah ta'ala taught and how humble they were some people have the habit of polite and being polite and they are soft spoken with general public lowering their heads and greeting with warmth but at home they are very harsh they are rude and even hurtful towards their parents towards their siblings children why because displaying good character publicly leads to popularity and admiration while being kind at home brings no worldly fame or recognition therefore they remain sweet only in public Allahu Akbar Similarly, there are Islamic brothers who go to great lengths in performing mustahab acts, but neglect their faraid obligatory duties, such as obeying their parents, raising their children according to Islamic teachings, or acquiring essential Islamic knowledge for themselves. This account contains a warning for them as well. Yes. And the reality is that those good deeds which bring fame and praise are performed with great enthusiasm, even if they are difficult, because the satisfaction gained from the love of fame makes the greatest tasks seem easy. Remember, love for fame only leads to destruction. Same goes with the people who are kind and sweet on the outside, and they try to wow the people with their apparent demeanor. And the same people are with their own family, with their own parents, they are bitter. And mostly, there are such people who are like shell. There is no reality. They don't have substance. They are more like a shell. Everything about them is a facade. Like, for example, narcissistic people. The overt narcissistic, the malignant narcissists. And these are the things that we see in real life. That they are, first when you see them, this is the idealization phase where they will treat you so well. It is only to get you hooked, get your trust. And after that, once they got you, they treat you like trash. So their reality becomes known sooner or later. But we shouldn't become such people that are nice on the outside but evil from the inside. No, there is no such thing. We must eradicate the evil that is from within us. And this expectation of praise and this desire for name and fame, this is the inner evil that we need to work on eradicating, inshallah, azza wa jal. Your nafs is against you. When that is the case, the ego is at its rise. And we need to recognize the problem, diagnose it, and get it sorted out. And only we ourselves could do it. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal for help. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, by the help of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, by the zikr of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, by istighfar, this can be avoided. And you need to discipline your nafs. Some Madani pearls regarding love for fame, which is taken from Ihya Ulumuddin, volume 3, page number 616 to 17. It is mentioned that love for fame and ostentation are among the spiritual diseases that destroy the soul and are counted amongst the hidden traps of the nafs. Scholars, worshippers, and those striving for the hereafter often fall prey to them. Such people make great efforts in the acts of worship, in suppressing the desires, and even protecting themselves from doubtful matters. They may keep their limbs safe from outward sins, yet they seek comfort for their nafs by showing their good deeds, religious services, and efforts for spreading righteousness before people. They may say things such as, I did this, I did that, I gave a speech there, I have another speech here. These are the dates I've been booked for speeches and prophetic odes. Last night, our Madani Mashura went on till late. That's why my voice is so weak. I'm traveling on a kafila, and I've already traveled on such and such cities and countries for religious work. Yes, all of this is to show that, no, I'm doing so good. And to say that, yes, this is all the hard work that I have done. Who you have done it for? You've done it for yourself. That's why you're talking about it. You want praise for it. Somebody must applaud you for all this. Allahu Akbar. Through such remarks, some people seek inner satisfaction and pleasure that comes from being admired. They reveal their knowledge and deeds to so that people respect and praise them. And they begin to enjoy the sweetness of being honored and being famous. When they begin to receive acceptance and fame, their nafs desires to make their knowledge and deeds even more apparent to people that their honor increases further. So they seek additional means of publicizing their good deeds and intellectual capabilities. They are no longer content with the fact that Allah Almighty is aware of their actions and will reward them. Rather, they feel delighted when people praise them and they are unsatisfied with the praise they receive from Allah. The nafs knows well that when the people become aware that a certain individual has abandoned his desires, avoids doubtful matters, spends generously in the path of Allah, exerts great effort in worship, cries out of fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, participates in religious works, works tirelessly to rectify others, and he travels frequently in qafilas, he controls his tongue, his eyes and stomach and delivers dars from Fazan Sunnah daily. He is punctual in attending Madrasatul Madina for adults, waking others for Fajr, and inviting people in the neighborhood to righteousness. Then those people will praise him abundantly. They will look at him with honor and respect, consider meeting and seeing him a means of blessings and a treasure for the hereafter. They will humbly request him to visit their homes or shops, to supplicate for them, or to drink tea with them, or to accept their invitation for a meal. They will regard following his advice as a source of goodness in both the worlds. Wherever they see him, they will serve him and greet him with salam. They will desire to eat and drink his leftovers, compete to receive gifts. And if your desire is to get that name and fame, then forget about getting any reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People may even at times, they'll kiss your hand, they'll touch your feet. And they will address you with titles such as Shaykh and Sayyidi and so on and so forth. With their hands folded and heads lowered, they would welcome you. They will request supplications from you. They will stand in respect when you enter a gathering. They will make you sit in a place of honor. And they will not even start to eat until you take the first morsel. They will present gifts and money while displaying humility, as though they are your servants and your slaves. But if we have done it with devious intentions, if we have done it seeking people's praise, if it was all for a show, then yes, those benefits that we have obtained, it ends there. There is no reward in the hereafter. In your dealings and transactions, in other matters, you will show generosity towards that individual, offering him the best quality items, and that too at a low cost or even for free at times. In his personal matters, you will lower yourself out of respect. This devotion-filled conduct of people brings immense pleasure to the nafs, and this is that pleasure which dominates all over the desires. The delights felt through such displays of piety make it easy for him to abstain from sins. For the one afflicted with a spiritual disease of love for fame, yes, if you have love for fame, then whatever you have to do, whatever difficulties you have to tackle in order for you to accomplish all of this, this will seem easy because you are trapped in your desire and love for name and fame. And if you commit sins, these devoted admirers will turn away from you. The nafs itself will tell you, Allahu Akbar. Such is the deception of the nafs. It's a double-edged sword. Therefore, with the assistance of the nafs, the desire to maintain honor among people makes the burden of remaining steadfast in worship feel light and easy. It's a bed of roses. For inwardly, he experiences the pleasure of pleasures, the greatest desire of all, the satisfaction gained from people's admiration. And that is Hubbu Jah, that is love for name and fame. He foolishly imagines that he has lived his life for Allah Azza wa Jal and in accordance with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas in reality, he has lived under the influence of his hidden desire, the love for name and fame and praise. A subtle desire that even the strongest intellects struggle to perceive. he considers himself sincere in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believes that he abstains from the unlawful, but in reality, the truth of the matter is that he only delights in adorning himself and displaying pretense before people. It is all for show, name and fame. He is extremely pleased with the respect and fame that he receives. In this way, the reward of worship and the righteous deeds are wasted. It's a royal waste. And his name is written among the hypocrites, though the poor soul assumes that he has attained closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal grant us safety and protection against the tricks and the trickery of the nafs and shaitan. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Amin. Dear viewers, we have a Madani pearl in Nasiha for us to listen to. Let's inshallah azza wa jal go and listen to the Madani pearl. Thereafter, we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. صلوا الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم.
The beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has said, من جاءه الموت وهو يطلب العلم ليحيي به الإسلام فبينه وبين النبيين درجة واحدة في الجنة. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has said, whoever passes away in the state that he is seeking knowledge of the deen to revive Islam, then in paradise there will be only one rank between him and the prophets. My dear viewers, let us reflect over the words of this narration. Subhanallah, look at the status of the student of knowledge, that he invests his life in seeking the knowledge of the deen, and if he passes away in this state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates his rank to such a degree that there will only be one rank between him and the prophets. Subhanallah. And if this is the maqam and status of the students of knowledge, then my dear viewers, let us ponder over the rank of the ulama of the Ahlul Sunnah. This shows to us the importance of Islamic knowledge and the significance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It mentions here that the student of knowledge will be only one rank below the rank of the prophets. This means that such a person will be granted great closeness to the prophets in paradise. Those prophets being in the highest level of illiyin, and these scholars being just beneath them because they were the inheritors of the prophets in the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to seek the knowledge of the deen, not only ourselves, but encourage other youngsters to come onto this path of ilm-e-deen and better their akhirah. Ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Welcome back to your viewers. We were listening to this beautiful Madani pearl of advice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to adhere to it and make amal on it. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Amin. Sincerity is priceless. And if we have sincerity of action, inshallah azza wa jal, the rest is easy. The main thing is sincerity. In order to remove the desire for honor and fame from your heart, to free yourself from the calamity of arrogance and to save your good deeds from being wasted due to ostentation, study the lives and the sayings of the pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, and make an intention to act upon them. It is narrated that a man once accompanied Sayyidina Abdullah bin Muhayriz, rahimahullah ta'ala. When he was about to part from him, he requested, "Please give me some advice." And Sayyidina Ibn Muhayriz, rahimahullah, he said that if you are able to do so, act upon these three things. What are those three things? He says, number one, recognize others, but do not seek to be recognized. The second advice, walk, but let no one walk behind you. And number three is that ask questions, but let no one be in need of asking you. Subhanallah. A man once visited Sayyidina Dawood al-Tai, rahimahullah ta'ala. He asked the reason for the visit and he replied that I have come to visit you. He said, due to your good opinion of me, you have done a good deed for yourself by visiting me. But what about me? If I am asked, who are you that people visit you? What will I answer? If I'm asked if I'm from the worshippers, I will reply, by Allah, I'm not among them. If I'm asked whether I am from the ascetic, those who detach themselves from the world, I will reply, by Allah, I'm not among them. After saying this, he rebuked himself and he said, O Dawood, in your youth, you were disobedient. In middle age, you became deceitful. And now, in your old age, you have become ostentatious. Then he supplicated that, O Lord of the heavens and the earth, grant me such mercy that rectifies my youth, protects me from all evils, and elevates my rank among the righteous. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. And such were the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious predecessors, who would humble themselves, who wouldn't be trapped with this ostentation or love for name and fame, the desires. And the humility of Sayyidina Dawood al-Ta'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he was a great student of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He was a great wali of Allah azza wa jal, counted among Qutb al-Aqtab, one of the distinguished students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, the great scholar, jurist and compiler of the Hanafi school, Imam Muhammad rahimahullah, would often come to him for the solution of difficult matters related to Islamic jurisprudence. He would engage abundantly in worship and in the recitation of the noble Quran. Despite this, his level of humility was such that he did not deem himself worthy of being visited. Unfortunately, the state of our hearts today is pitiful. We crave position and rank of this world, find happiness in being honored, and take delight in being praised and recognized by people. If only we could attain the blessed mindset of humility and sincerity possessed by our pious predecessors, for in this lies success in both the worlds. Pious person, he told me this. I still remember to this day. And these were Arabic phrases which he said, Majhulun fil ard, mashhurun fis sama. The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allahu Akbar. He was wearing torn clothes and he had his clothes patched up by the thorns. And this became so famous in the heavens, subhanallah. He was famous among the angels. And Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard his presence in paradise in the night of Miraj. Subhanallah. So yes, these are the people, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were so sincere in whatever they did that they were celebrities in the heavens. Yes, they were really popular and famous among the angels. There are many awliya Allah, nobody knows about them, but in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they hold high rank. To learn more about the condemnation of love for fame, read about this in volume 3 of Ihya Ulumuddin, published by Yo Maktabatul Madina, the publishing wing of Dawat Islami. Remain connected with the religious environment of your Dawat Islami and make a habit of traveling in kafila regularly. Dear brothers, to become steadfast in salah, to protect yourself from sins, and to develop a passion for performing good deeds, attach yourself to the religious environment of Dawat Islami. Participate in the 12 religious activities regularly, and inshallah azza wa jal, you will attain countless blessings in this world and the hereafter. Among these religious works is the weekly gathering of Dawat Islami. The weekly gatherings, they take place every Thursday after the Maghrib Salah. This gathering, recitation of the Noble Quran and prophetic praises, speeches, and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and an emotional supplication are conducted. And it is a humble request that you make your routine to attend the weekly gathering. How great must be the status of those who sit in a religious gathering and engage in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to a hadith, the one who even sits with them no longer remains unfortunate. Subhanallah. Barasta nahi dekh kar abre rahmat, badon par bhi barsa de barsane wale. Ameen. When it rains, it doesn't see who you are. It showers upon you, subhanallah, and blesses you. Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon us the rain of blessings. During the gathering, you will have the opportunity to engage in the dhikr of Allah azza wa jal, learn Islamic knowledge, sit in the company of the pious people, and spend time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another special blessing is that attending the weekly gathering is considered setting out in the path of Allah azza wa jal. Inshallah, from the moment you leave your home until you return, all that time will be recorded as being spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, make a firm intention to attend the weekly gathering every Thursday from beginning to the end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all the tawfiq and the means to attend the Madani Ijtima, inshallah. And when we go to these gatherings, even then remember to humble yourselves. You're not doing anybody a favor by coming for the ijtima. It is for your own akhirah. And don't show to people what you do. And inshallah azza wa jal, be sincere. Make sure to meet and greet the Islamic brothers, those who you know and those who you don't. Make salam to everyone. Spread love and mahabbah. Act upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only in front of people when you are in the gathering, but at home as well. Subhanallah, meet brothers with a smile. When you go back home, make salam at home with your family members, also with a smile. Subhanallah, may Allah azza wa jal grant us sincerity of actions. Ameen. Bijahi nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi, wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Islamic parables. Islamic parables, timeless and bright, springing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.